Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Hello, you are listening to the C Squared podcast with me, Holly.
And I'm Aaliyah.
And I'm Curtis.
And today we are talking about useful information for prospective PR clients, whether you are with us or with another publicist.
Yep. So we are going to go through, we have a helpful document that we send to all of our new clients, and we're going to go through that for you guys today. So Curtis, why don't you start us off with the first thing on the list there?
Sure. Well, obviously, the very first thing on the list is you have to, you know, for us at least, there's usually we usually give everyone a contract to sign, obviously, is the very first step. And then we give them this document, which is the steps that we are laying out here. So the very first thing we ask you to have is to make sure your MP3s are tagged properly. So what that means, basically, I'm going to get Holly to explain this a little bit better because I think she explains this better than I do. She's giving me a face, though, so maybe not. Because this is a commonly misunderstood thing, because I'll ask people to send us tagged MP3s and they'll send back WAV files, which we can't use, or they'll send us tracks that aren't tagged or look funny. Holly, are you willing to kind of go over what we mean when we say tagged files?
Yeah, sure. So tagged MP3s are basically MP3s that have got all of the metadata saved into them. So it's your band name, the song title. You can put your genre, the year you've recorded it if you want to. You can add as much detail as you like. We need at least song title, track number, preferably if it's an album or an EP, and band name, just because if we're sending this to people and sometimes people lose files, files get mixed up. If nothing's tagged, we're not going to know who it's by, what order it is, what order it's meant to be in, you know, things like that. It just helps keep track of everything.
And one other reason why we do that is because I know as a fact that some journalists will not touch an album if they see it's not tagged properly. I've actually seen people, the thing that brought this to my attention was a number of years ago, because I didn't even think about this point. I think it was back in 2017, 2016. I saw a tweet from a journalist complaining about an album that they'd been sent that was untagged and they were no longer going to review it as a result. I found out that was an album I sent out. And I hadn't even thought about this prior because it just didn't occur to me. It probably was like 2015, actually, not 2017. I've been doing this a lot longer than that. So anyways, once I realized that, because there was a number of other journalists piled on, they said, yeah, I really wish I could review it too, but I just can't because they're not properly tagged and I don't want to take the time to do it. So, you know, because a lot of people, you know, they keep it in their library. They like to find it, like Holly said. So it's a bit of a pain in the ass, but has to be done. Aaliyah, are you willing to say the rough way to do it? Do you know how to tag MP3s, right?
I think that I've just done it using Windows computer.
Yeah,
like a PC.
Yeah.
And you just go into like the properties of the track and you can type in all of the information, the relevant information. Yeah. But I think there's a way to tag it when you export it as well.
I think so. I usually just do it from Windows myself. So
you just right click on it or control click or whatever, and you go to the properties of the file and type in the information.
Yeah.
And you just put like the track number in the file name.
Yeah. Now, a couple key things just to keep in mind when you're doing this. These are kind of picky little points, but it makes the promo look kind of messy when we upload it if you don't do this. So when you put the song title, some bands will have it like they'll have their band name, the album name, song title. In the song title, you just want to have the song title itself, because otherwise it gets really messy looking. I actually had a promo from another PR company the other night that did this. I was kind of surprised. And just receiving it, I went, wow, that looks horrible. So now I'm really sold on the fact that just to put your song title in the title, don't put band name, album name, song title, if that makes sense. Because you want to have everything look nice. You want to have it look complete. And I think that's all I want to say about tagging, unless one of you guys have anything else on tagging.
I guess one thing to mention is if you want radio play, radio stations, particularly online radio stations, will only accept tagged MP3s.
Yep.
So that is something to bear in mind. They won't even consider playing it if it's not tagged.
100%. Okay, and then the last thing I want to talk about MP3s before we go on to anything else is also make sure that they're not super low quality. I actually had someone send me a few weeks ago, it was like 120 kbps, and I was like, what is this? Yeah, I don't remember what it was. It was like really fucking low. Like I don't have the world. I'm not an audiophile. I can't tell the difference all the time between a low quality MP3. Well, I can with a 128 rather, but I can't really tell the difference between a 192 and like a 260 or whatever, but a lot of people can. So you want to have a bit of a higher quality. So try to do 320. And I think lowest is 290 something. I can't remember the exact number, but try to do 320 if you can. Do either of you guys have any comments on that? Nope. Cool. Okay, so the next thing we want to talk about is album art. I'm going to let Aaliyah talk about album art being high res and why that's the case, because she deals with art all the time as part of her job, and she's the designer in charge here. So I'm going to let her talk about high res art and why it's needed and important.
Sure. Well, first of all, I think that, you know, there's a lot of good avenues for you to get free album, to make your own album artwork now, especially with like the AI artwork that's coming out, but it's really beneficial if you can, to hire an artist and get professional artwork done for your album cover. And then, yeah, when it comes to delivering that artwork, even like iTunes, they need, it looks so small on your screen, right? You don't think it needs to be big, but they need it to be 1500 pixels by 1500 pixels. So it's like 5 inches by 5 inches at 300 DPI. That's like the minimum file size that you need. If you want your artwork to be printed in a magazine or what have you, you're probably going to want it bigger than that. But yeah, I think what we would accept would be a 1500 pixel by 1500 pixel square image of your album artwork. And it does have to be square.
Yeah. If you can get it to us bigger, preferably as well, because I actually have had print magazines ask higher. So if you can get it higher, that's cool, but we'll probably reduce it anyways. So
right. So if you want to send us like a 3000 by 3000, twice the size of that, that'd probably be best.
Cool. Okay. So the next thing we're going to talk about is band photo sizes and stuff. So I know Corey likes to have them 16x9. So Aaliyah, again, can you go over this right here? I don't know if you took a quick look at the specs, but if you could go
over. Yeah, I did take a quick look. And yeah, I mean, we like to have three different options, right? Because there's a few different ways that your images get used. In most blogs, they're going to use a horizontal image. So that's when you want the 16:9 ratio horizontal band photo. That's for most blogs or website features. On social media, a lot of times your post is going to be squares. So you want a good square, like a 1:1 ratio photo where you can see everyone and everyone's framed nicely in the square. And then the other one is going to be a vertical 16:9. And that's for Instagram stories, Facebook stories, TikTok, anything that's going to be vertical on a cell phone, you're going to want the 16:9 vertical photo. So those are going to be potentially three different photos, because a photo that will work in a horizontal position, a horizontal aspect ratio, might not work if you try and turn it into a vertical image. You might need a different photo entirely for that vertical image. So you just want to make sure that you hire a professional photographer or get somebody who's a really talented photographer to take your pictures. And you want high quality pictures. They do matter so, so much nowadays that you have high quality pictures, and just try and get those three sizes to us.
So one question, if you can answer this, maybe you can't, I would assume you can. One issue we've been having recently-ish is where band members are located in different states or countries and they can only do a collage. Mm-hmm. Do you have any tips on doing collage photos at all or no?
I mean, collages are never going to get the same kind of reception as a photo with everyone together. What you can do, if you know someone who's a graphic designer, you can all take photos on a black backdrop with the same lighting setup. What you need to make sure is that your lighting is consistent between the photos. Otherwise, it's going to look a bit strange. But yeah, you could take all like a bunch of photos like knees up or feet to the like full body photos against a black backdrop. And a talented graphic designer should be able to mock them all together and maybe put them on a background or just a black background that will suit. But again, it's going to be really important to get high quality imagery up front for that.
Yeah, I agree. Cool. So Holly, so the next thing we wanted to talk about was album credits. and band member names and what instruments they play. Can you cover this? I have a pet peeve on this.
There are quite a few times where I don't get sent this information from the bands, and I like the press releases to be as detailed as possible. And that's for a number of reasons. First of all, is you kind of need to assume that no one knows anything about you, because there are a lot of people out there who've never heard anything about you, and so they don't know who you are, they don't know what you do, they don't know where you're from, they don't know who you've worked with. And so putting all of this information is really important to sort of basically say who you are. And there is a little bit of a sort of, validation isn't quite the right word, but if you're working with certain people in the industry, like certain sound engineers, certain producers, certain whoever it is, putting those credits in, it's not necessarily going to guarantee you any more coverage, but it just kind of shows, oh, okay, these guys are taking it seriously. These people are doing this. They're well connected. They know this. They know that. And also, it's just polite to credit all the people you've worked with. And I personally do get a little bit annoyed with bands who just don't ever credit people they've worked with. But that's just a personal thing. But it does bother me.
So Holly's been not credited on certain things. I could take it.
No, actually, I think I've been credited on everything, but it just annoys me on behalf of other people.
Fair.
Right.
Fair. So now the next part was about band member names and what instruments they play. I got a pet peeve on this. Can you go over this, Holly? I think you got the same pet peeve I do. Let's see.
Oh, okay. That'll be interesting. There's two things on this, and I'm going to sound like a hypocrite. I've stopped doing it with Disconnected Souls because we all do everything. And so listing parts for us doesn't work, or it does, but you end up with a list of 20 instrument names after everyone's name, and that's just filling up way too much space. Mm-hmm. So there are times when bands don't do it that I completely understand why, because I think, okay, yeah, everybody does everything. You're just going to write a really long list. But if you're in a band where all the members have, you know, pretty fixed roles, they're all sort of doing their own thing, it is important to put it in, just again, because then people know who you are.
It's also important for the reviewers, so that way they can credit the right person.
Because it's kind of nice, exactly, because I've done this in the past where I've written reviews and you just sort of say, the guitarist does this or the drummer does this. And it's like, I don't know what the name is. Yeah. So I just sort of anonymize them. But I'm aware I am also slightly hypocritical because I've stopped doing it. So.
Yeah, and I think it can get kind of confusing anyway, like, if you have like multiple people doing the same thing, like already like in Shield of Wings, I'm not going to put in the credits, like, it's so weird to get too granular about it, right? Like, oh, this person does these kind of vocals and this person does these kind of vocals and these kind of vocals and this person does the choir vocals. And it's like, and people try and write about it. I get there's only a certain level of complexity that we can do, right? But yeah, do try to articulate it as well as possible, I guess.
How did you solve that, Aaliyah? I don't remember with you and Laura for vocals, because I know, if I'm not mistaken, I think someone credited Laura at one point for your vocals, but you actually had written down. I don't remember what you did. Do you remember?
Oh, no. It was actually super common for people to credit James with the growls.
Is that what it was? Okay. I was thinking it was Laura. Okay.
Yeah, because... yeah, but I put in, I think in ours, I put that I did the support and harsh vocals, but I also like the folky wail vocals.
Yeah.
I don't know what to call them. They're like kind of inspired by Keelning and other kinds of old world singing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's not that important to me as long as people like the music.
Fair.
So we just do what we can to make it clear enough that people kind of get the idea.
Fair. Cool. Okay, so last part I want to go over on this. This is my pet peeve. Holly missed it. I was surprised. I thought you were going to bring this up. Okay. You're probably going to be like...
What is your pet peeve, Curtis?
I think she's going to realize as soon as I say it. So my pet peeve is not putting either full names or last names on the thing. Because I realize some people want to be anonymous, but I get asked...
What about stage names, Curtis?
Well, I don't care if they put a stage name as long as there's like a last name, because I get asked all the fucking time, you know, what's Joe's last name? I'm like, I don't fucking know Joe's last name. They just told me Joe. Like, fuck, I don't know. You have the same information I do, right? And then I got to go ask Joe, and Joe's like, well, my name's really Smith, but I like to go by blah, blah. Okay, well, just put that in the fucking kit, right? So, you know.
Yeah, like, just list your name as you want journalists to write about
that's,
it. Yeah,
that's all I want. or just listing the names and not putting the instruments. That drives me nuts too. So DS, PS, and RS are the members of the bands. You don't know who what they play, and you're like, well, tell us. And they're like, well, I don't really want to say. Okay, anyways, that's my pet peeve. So I'm going to stop on that. Holly, did you have anything further you wanted to say on that?
I guess the main point of this is give us more information, because it's kind of, even if I don't end up using it, it's better that I have it than I'm chasing people because I don't know who the drummer is or whatever.
I agree. So. Okay, so the next one's kind of obvious. You need to give us the album title. Pretty obvious. I mean, most people, I don't think we've ever really had a case where we haven't gotten the album title. We have had it where, oh, one thing to just point out on the tagging, make sure that your album title matches up what you tag the tracks are, because we've mistakenly put the album as the wrong name because the album tags said a different name. So we assumed we had incorrect information. Later, obviously we found out before the kit went out, but that has happened in the past, just as a note. So this is going back to tagging your tracks. Okay. So next thing is list what formats the album is going to be released on. Let us know that. If it's just coming out digitally, cool. Just tell us. If it's coming out on vinyl, digital, cool. Just tell us. CD, digital, cool. Just tell us. Tape, just tell us. We also need to know what label it's on. I've had it where people have told us that they're releasing independently, and then I find out later that it's independently but with a label name, and they didn't tell us that. A good example was a few months ago, I asked the band, I said, and I even put it in our form, I said, what label's releasing? And they said, totally independent. Then they got mad at me later because people weren't putting their self-created label name in the reviews. And I was like, you didn't even tell us about this. And they're like, oh, oops, sorry. But they were upset because no one was crediting. Well, you got to tell us if it's independent, I'm putting self-release, like there's no label. So you got to let us know if you have a label name and you want to credit it. Next thing, Holly, this is your pet peeve, which is links to social media.
Yeah, the amount of people that don't give me the links, or they don't give me all of them. So they'll give me like Facebook, Instagram, and Bandcamp, but they have got Twitter, they have got TikTok, they have got YouTube, they've got everything else. They just don't bloody tell me. And I'm like, why are you not telling me?
Maybe they're just trying to go hide them because they don't use them enough. They're embarrassed.
Maybe. I mean, I do sometimes find that, because the thing is, I do, when I get a list and it's just one or two social links, I then go looking because I'm like, this looks suspicious. There's only two links. And I usually find them. And half the time, actually, they are active. So I'm like, if you're using them, tell me, please.
Yeah.
It's so annoying.
Well, the worst part, too, is if it's a band with a common name with other bands.
This is the thing. Obviously, not going to get into social media now, but it's kind of, if your band name is hard to find, then it's even more important that you send me the links, because otherwise we're not going to find them.
Yeah. But many times it's not just that it has a similar band name, but there's like food places named after it, or like, you know.
I've noticed that. Huh? Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
There was one clothing label or something like
that. Yeah. There was like one that had like some religious organization that had the same name. I can't remember what band it was. And I kept accidentally tagging some church. And I was like, oops, sorry, guys. Didn't mean to do that. But anyways. Okay. So next thing that's very important is the album release date. Make sure that you double check in all press releases before they get sent out that you have your publicist has the correct release date. We have had instances in the past year where there was two release dates floated. We accidentally sent out the wrong one, or the band sent out the wrong one. There was cross communication. It could be changed later. It's not that big of a deal, but it is a bit annoying to journalists to be told, you know, one week that it's coming out November 18th and the next week it's actually, no, we were wrong. It was a mistake. It's December 15th. Just want to put that out there because that has happened. I also had a miscommunication with the band recently where I thought that they were releasing another week. They thought they were releasing another day. It got crossed and we both looked at the communications. There was two dates floated. It happens sometimes. Nobody was mad at the other person, but it can happen. So just double check, like, because we always send press releases for approval before they go out. Double check the date. Make sure that matches with what you want. If it doesn't match what you want, just tell us or tell your publicist, whoever it is. So next thing, pre-orders. Let's talk pre-orders. Aaliyah.
Why me? I don't know about pre-orders.
Well, you did pretty good with Shield of Wings. So
we did pre-orders on Bandcamp, and we did pre-orders via Kickstarter. So what we did, whatever you're doing for your pre-orders, though, we just need the link for it.
Yeah.
So if you're doing a Kickstarter campaign like we did, you just send the link. for that. Or if you're doing them just on Bandcamp, then you send the link to the Bandcamp. Make sure it's all set up correctly with the platform you choose to use. And because then that way we can include that link in the press release. It'll get reposted on all the blogs. It's going to get you a little more traffic to your site.
Yeah. Holly, you want to cover pre-save links?
Yes. So most of digital distribution sites, I believe, now offer some sort of pre-save link, or at least capability for doing a pre-save link. You might have to pay extra for it, because I've noticed quite a few sites seem to be doing that. But it's worth doing, because it boosts you in Spotify's algorithm. And it's kind of, you never know, you might reach someone. And the thing is, people forget about things. They see your new releases coming out in 2 months' time, and, you know, life gets in the way. People are busy. Yep. Sometimes they then forget. So if they've pre-saved it on the release date, they suddenly get a notification that goes, oh, look, this album's out. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'd forgotten about that. And you get more listens. So it's definitely worth, I think, setting it up.
Especially with a single.
Send us the link if you do. Yeah.
So. Especially with a single. So next part that I want to discuss here is, so this is very, very important. For some reason, bands always fuck this up. Well, most bands fuck this up, and I don't understand why. It drives, even after we explain it to them, they still fuck it up, and I don't understand it. So we need the names of what singles you are releasing and on what dates, and do not release a single without coordinating with us. And also, please make sure you upload that single to digital distribution on the same date that we are planning to release it. Because this drives us nuts, because we'll have the band drop a single, not tell us, and then be like, why didn't we get any press on our single? Be like, well, you didn't tell us you surprise dropped a single. And they're like, well, we thought you checked our socials. I don't see everybody's socials all the time, because that's how the algorithm works. So I'm not necessarily going to see it. Holly's not necessarily going to see it. Aaliyah's not going to see it. Corey's not going to see it. None of us know sometimes. This includes videos too, if you're doing something. Yeah.
Clarification, when you say upload it on the same day, you mean schedule it to come out on the same day.
Yes.
Don't upload it the same day, because it'll take time.
That's
you need
right.
to upload it a few weeks in advance, but schedule it to release on the same day that you've told us it's going to release.
Yes, because nothing drives me nuts more than getting a press release ready, or asking Holly to get a press release ready, or Corey or whoever. And it's not on any platforms but Bandcamp. And then you find out, well, it's not actually coming out for a few days later because we forgot to upload it. And we're like, well, dude, we told you at the beginning of the fucking campaign to upload it. You told us it was uploaded. This happens like way more times than anybody can believe. It's like become so common of an occurrence now. I just assume the band didn't listen to us at the beginning. And I check throughout. And even then, half the time, even when we're told it was uploaded, it wasn't actually uploaded. It's only on Bandcamp. So...
And the other reason you want to make sure that you upload it to your digital distributor and schedule it is so you can submit it for Spotify playlist review. Again, like it's a low likelihood that you'll actually get playlisted, but you want to be able to submit it, right? And so I don't remember the exact time window. I think it might be 8 weeks.
I thought it was six. I don't remember. Corey
weeks,
knows.
6 weeks is right.
I don't remember
yet. You have to upload it 6 weeks in advance and schedule it for it to even be able to be submitted.
Yeah.
To be eligible to be on Spotify playlists.
Well, then also on top of that, not the other stupid thing, but only uploading it to Bandcamp is you don't have a way of monetizing your song because you don't have it on Spotify, so you're not collecting. I know it's only a little bit of money, but still. Also, a lot of blogs will not pick up Bandcamp links nowadays, and they'll only pick it up if it's on YouTube. So if you haven't uploaded it to your digital distro and we can't find the YouTube link, you're shit out of luck in terms of pickups a lot of the times. It's just the way it works. YouTube seems to be the thing that people want to use for streaming nowadays, or Spotify. Bandcamp, you don't get paid on a stream. Yes, you get paid more when they actually purchase, but you need the YouTube link there.
And on your digital distribution platform, you can schedule it for all of the services, not just Spotify, but YouTube. It will upload it to YouTube Music. It'll upload it to Apple, Amazon. The only thing I think you have to do on your own is Pandora.
Yeah.
You have to set that up on your own.
Yeah. Anyways, the point is get it uploaded. A lot of people don't even use Bandcamp. It's kind of a niche thing. I know lots of people don't realize that, but Spotify, most people don't listen to streaming on Bandcamp, and Bandcamp doesn't pay you shit when you stream anyways. I'm not going to get on a Bandcamp rant. I don't like Bandcamp. Okay, next
I like
thing.
Bandcamp.
Well, I like it as a consumer, as a person that works at
So, but you don't upload your stuff only to Bandcamp. What's the next topic?
I want to rant, but anyways, videos. So we need, okay. So here's the next thing that we need you to do is make sure at the beginning of the campaign, any videos that you have, unless they are in progress, I know Leo's going to say that, are given to us as far in advance as possible. I'm not going to let Aaliyah talk about the subject because I know what she's going to say. But it's very important. She wants to say it. Go ahead.
That's very disrespectful, Curtis.
What it is disrespectful. But anyways, go ahead. Say what you want to say.
No, I was going to say, make sure that your videos are done in advance if possible, because it's a little stressful if you're not done with your videos. You know, it's better to have all of your videos completed and uploaded unlisted before you even start the campaign.
Yes, it is. And we all have firsthand experience with this. Now, it's also particularly important because, like, let's say if you want to get a stream set up in advance for your song, like, we can't pitch it without the full video because maybe we have the song. But unless you're a fairly well-known band, most blogs are not going to touch the video unless they see it, because for all they know, it's janky quality, it's got nudity in it, it's got drug use. They'd have no fucking clue. So you need to have that there. You can't just drop it a day or two ahead. But that being said, if you don't want to get a premiere or something like that, which we do not recommend nowadays anyways, that's totally fine. We just need to have it ahead and what date you're going to be dropping it.
Yeah, here's another reason to have your videos ahead of time.
Yeah.
Is because reaction channels, right? Yeah. Yeah. We do work with a few reaction channels who will watch your video and react to it. And it is so helpful for them if they can have your video a little early, because that way they can pre-record it and release it right after your video is aired.
Yeah, you need a few weeks.
Because their schedules are so packed. Yeah. So just try to be respectful of that. That's another good reason to have your videos done early.
100%. Like, if you ask us to get you A&P reacts, Pedro will say, well, I'm booked out for the next 3-4 weeks. So sorry, you know, and he's not being a dick. It's just the way it is. And the last thing on videos, just before we move on to the next subject, is do not set your videos to premiere at a certain time on YouTube unless coordinating it with us, because we have been told in the past that a video was set to release, that they've sent us the unlisted link. They were going to make it public at a certain time. Band didn't tell us that they set it to premiere. We scheduled the press release to go out at 11, but they're not ready till 1 o'clock. We don't know. Usually I check now in advance to make sure that hasn't happened, but it has happened that the press release went out early, even after we told the band. Miscommunication just looks stupid. It's not that big of a deal, but it's just annoying.
So what do you think bands should do if they want to do that premiere experience?
The on their own channel?
Yeah, because then you have to set it as a premiere.
You do.
Should they just do like a premiere now, or like, because sometimes if you schedule it for a premiere, everyone who subscribed to you will see that and be like, oh, do you want to save it and remind, do you want a reminder from YouTube when this is premiere? And so like, what time frame should they look at when they want to schedule it? Like how far in advance can they schedule it to be a premiere?
I don't know off the top of my head. I think it's 2 weeks, but don't quote me on that.
No, I mean, like, by your recommendation, because like, if you're sending out a press release, and it's scheduled to premiere at like a certain time, then maybe you just need to have the press release go out after the premiere.
That's all. Yeah, we just need to know is the only thing. So if you want to do that, we, like Aaliyah is saying right now, that you can do that because it probably works out. It does work out better for the band. All I'm saying is just let us know in advance that you're doing that, because otherwise,
so we can schedule the press release to go out after the video's premiere.
Exactly.
And that way there won't be any issues with people, with blogs featuring it. They won't have any issues streaming it, et cetera.
100%. Holly, you want to talk about interview availability? You're on mute.
Yes, you're muted.
This is why I don't use the mute button, because I forget.
Whatever.
Right. Time zone is what I was saying. Please, for the love of God, tell me your time zone, because I don't know where you are, and I've then got to work out where you are in relation to the person I'm trying to get to interview, and it's a little bit stressful. So I think sometimes people assume that I'm in Canada or North America just because I'm working here, and it's like I'm in UK, so I'm usually on a different time zone to everybody else anyway. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just let me know your availability or your most frequent availability, date and time zone, please. That's all I ask.
And one other key thing to point out too is if you're in the Pacific time zone, you're probably going to get most of your interviews being done on the weekend, because the vast majority of journalists are going to be further ahead time zone than you. So if you get off work at, for example, 7 o'clock and you're only available between 8 and 9, that's going to be midnight, 11 o'clock Eastern. So probably not going to work out. So you might want to try to work out, you know, maybe doing Saturday, Sundays, which kind of suck, but it is the way it is, because it's just the way it is. Aaliyah, did you have anything you wanted to add to on that before we go to the next part of about interviews?
No, I think you guys covered all of that.
Cool. So Holly, let's talk about interviews, answering interviews, form interviews, that type of thing. I think you've already looked at what we got next, so I'll let you go hard.
Yeah, so I assume you're meaning to the way that people answer the questions in the interviews.
I do.
Yeah, so basically avoid short answers is kind of the long and the short of it. Try and expand where you can, because this will be more interesting for the person interviewing you, and it's also an awful lot more interesting for the listener and or reader, depending if it's like a written or video. And because, yeah, the whole point of an interview is they're getting to know things about you and the music that they do not find out elsewhere. Yeah. So, you know, if you've got anecdotes, throw those in. If you've got interesting behind the scenes info, which your band members do not mind you sharing, share that. You know, all that sort of thing. It's all interesting.
I agree. So. Aaliyah, do you have anything you want to add to that about interviews?
Not really. I think that's pretty much that's the long and short of it, right? Yeah. You just want to be engaging. Don't do the bare minimum, basically.
Yeah.
Don't just answer the question. Oh, and one thing.
Yeah.
If you have something you want to say and there's no question particularly specifically asking about that, you can oftentimes find a way to work in what mm-hmm. you want to say in a question that's maybe a little off topic. 100%. Just, you know, lead your way into it and then say what you want to say.
I agree 100%.
Just make sure you're taking advantage of the opportunity that having these interviews give you to get what you have to say out there.
100%. Okay, so now last part of this topic I want to touch on is a lot of times you're going to be getting form interviews, which suck. But
this is what I'm talking about comes into play.
Yeah. So you're going to get form interviews. It's just part of the thing. Some bands don't like to do them. If you don't like to do them, that's totally fine. We're not going to give you the form interview. But if we get sent it, if we get sent, like, for example, 6 form interviews and you don't want to do them, fine. But I always say that unless your band is big enough, you should do it, just because it helps with your SEO, helps give you practice, that type of thing. But if you really don't want to do it and you don't feel like it's moving the needle, we're not going to force you to do a form interview, unless it's from Decibel or something like that, in which case we will say, please, please, please do this. Holly, actually, no, this is a Curtis thing. So Holly, did you have anything to add on that before we move on, though?
One thing, I guess, is please proofread your answers before you send them back, because yep. there are times that there are spellings and I can't tell if it's an intentional misspelling or if it's just you've quickly typed and not double checked. You know, this is usually like in reference to song titles or places or the people's names. So it's kind of, I'm then like, do I edit this or do I just send it over? And sometimes stuff gets published that is, oh well, no, it's actually full of mistakes and I would have fixed it if I'd known. So proofread quickly.
Just to touch on that, also don't be that guy that sends us the completed interview sent from your iPhone with tons of mistakes, all run-on sentences and stuff, because we're not going to do anything with it. We're just going to send it back to you. I fucking hate that. I just tell the person, no, I'm not fucking sending this, and no, I'm not fucking going to spend 5 hours proofreading this for you. So that's not our job to be your editor. Like,
I mean, it doesn't need to be perfect. Like, I, no. I'm not going to penalize on grammar mistakes or anything, but just as long as it's legible and
absolutely, you must run it through Grammarly.
Yeah,
this is not an ad.
Yeah. Okay. So next thing, there was one thing that isn't on this document that was supposed to be, which I just want to touch briefly because I know this is a little bit of a pet peeve of Holly's. Probably Aaliyah too, but she doesn't really do these that much. So sometimes, so just as a starter, both Holly and Corey are the main ones that do the writing at C Squared. Both of them are professional journalists. Holly's been doing this, I think, for 4 or 5 years and has an English major. Corey's been doing it for longer. She was doing stuff before Metal Injection and stuff, just non-music related as well. And she also has an English major. So, but at the same time, we all make mistakes. We miss some stuff. So occasionally there is going to be a typo. There's going to be something made a mistake happens. Right, Holly?
Oh yeah. I try and avoid it, but every now and again.
I'm just telling people that sometimes there are mistakes that are made, but what I wanted to say is that if Holly and Corey write your bio or write a press release for you, one pet peeve we have is when people try to change it completely. Reason why is because both Holly and Corey have been around for a while and they're professional journalists and they know how journalists will respond to things. If you send us something that you want to change to be a bunch of flowery words, lots of adjectives that just don't make any sense, make you sound important, that type of thing, it doesn't work out. We've had that a couple times. Most people don't do this, but it does happen occasionally where the band wants a complete rewrite to make it sound more flowery. Please don't do that. Please trust their judgment on things, because both of them have been doing this for years. Corey's at Knotfest, and she's written at Metal Injection. Like I said, Holly's been doing this for years. She's at the Soundboard and a couple of other places, which I'm forgetting off the top of my head. But they both know what they're doing, is what I'm saying. So I'm tooting Holly's horn. Aaliyah, you were going to say something?
I just want to interject something, because I think a lot of musicians, maybe you write lyrics as a musician, or you know, and lyrics are kind of a little more poetic, but you don't want your bio to be as poetic or abstract as your lyrics. Journalism and lyric writing are very different. Creative writing and journalism are just a little different. So take into account what our professional journalists have to say about what should be in your bio. And don't make them. I understand the appeal of making things super flowery. I feel like when I write things, like when I write my band bio and stuff, it always starts out super flowery, and then I have to like trim it down, like take some pruning shears to make it right. But but just to keep that in mind as an artist.
Now, just the final thing I want to say on that, that doesn't mean that we won't do tweaks. All I'm saying is just like, if we tell you that something seems like a dumb idea or doesn't quite fit, just please listen to us.
I'm going to tell people that's a dumb idea.
I have had told bands, you don't want to do that. I won't get into details right now, but I have told bands, probably not going to work. Probably not the best idea. Why don't we do this instead? Obviously, I don't tell them they're being dumbasses when they do that. I would never say something like that, but you know. Anyways, Holly, did you have anything you wanted to add on to that, since you're the pro here?
I think that's probably most things. Obviously, if there are genuine mistakes in it, or if there's just a couple of sentences you want rearranging for whatever reason, that's fine. But it's just the formatting side of things and the language use. We've usually done it a certain way for a certain reason. But like, feel free to ask. You know, you can always ask, why have I written it this way? And then I'll tell you, and that's absolutely fine.
Exactly. I don't mind that. And we do listen. What I'm saying is just bands refusing to accept anything and then wanting it a certain way, and that's more what I'm talking about.
I think the thing as well is there is a bit of a difference between a press release and a band bio that a band might put on their Spotify or their website.
100%.
So if you want something that's like that, then you kind of need to talk to us about what you're using it for. Just that's something else to bear in mind.
Cool. Okay, so the last thing, two more things rather. Next thing is what to expect. Aaliyah, do you want to go over what to expect?
I don't know what's listed in the document.
Like
what they can expect as results. Do you want, I mean, I know.
When they'll get results mainly. Like, can you kind of go over timing of like when they'll get news placements and reviews and interviews and that type of thing, if you know what I mean?
Sure.
Cool.
I mean, generally speaking, when a press release is sent out, it can pop up on other sites for, a couple of days after that. And you usually send a press release out for each single, for the announcement of the album, like anything newsworthy. You can expect to see those get posted on some journalism sites within a few days of that press release going out. Sometimes up to a week afterwards. Is that about sum it up?
Pretty much, but there's a couple pointers I wanted to mention on this. If you don't have any singles, for example, and let's say you get a 3-month campaign and we're only bugging journalists for reviews, you're not really going to see much until the final week or two. Or if you have not much content, let's say you have one single coming out, not for a month, and then you got a 2-month lag between the singles. Again, there's going to be a lag in press coverage. So the more content we have to use to promote you, the more pickups you're going to get. Good example is last year we had a band. They'd released 2 singles before working with us, and then they got a 3-month campaign. Smart idea. But their next single, for some reason, they decided to wait for a month after they initially started with us to release the single, month and a half, I think it was. So they messaged us all alarmed after 3 weeks that the only thing that there'd only been, like, I think like 10 pickups or something like that, announcing the album, and nothing in 4 weeks. And they were like all alarmed, thinking that the press campaign wasn't biting. Meanwhile, I can look in Marholics. I can see people are downloading it. People are listening to it. Right. Things are happening, right? And I'm checking.
There's just nothing to post about until it's closer to the release date.
That's the thing.
Reviews even don't come out until closer to the release date.
That's the thing. Once I explained this to them, and they went, oh, so we got to put out more content. And I said, yeah, that's all you got to do is if you give us some more content. So they gave us something. They put out a track the next week. Pickups started happening, and they were like, oh, okay, yeah, you guys were right. Really sorry about that. But they were all alarmed that nothing was happening. Holly, do you want to cover content a little bit more before going on the next thing?
Yeah, I guess sort of the easiest pickups are generally news items. So like if they're releasing a single is a news item, you can do tour announcements as news items. You can do a vinyl release of things that can be a news item. So there are ways to sort of fill in the gaps, I guess, in a campaign. I mean, ideally try and plan these things before you start.
Yeah,
because it can be a rush, and we've done it, and we do it sometimes, like a sudden rush thing. Okay, yeah, we'll suddenly do vinyl, or we've suddenly got a video next week, or we're doing X, Y, Z. So it's doable, but it will help if you can maybe at the beginning of your campaign sort of look and think, okay, yeah, we'll do 2 or 3 singles. In between those, there could be the vinyl announcement, and there could be a tour announcement, and then there could be a video with the 3rd single, and there could be, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that will keep the momentum going until the album or whatever it is comes out.
Agreed. One more thing about just what Holly's talking about that just popped in my head is also make sure that you send us stuff in proper time. Like if we have, for example, set up a premiere for your video to release on, I don't know, Thursday next week, we're going to need the assets sent to us, i.e. video quote, you know, any video quote basically is what we would need in that case. We would need that by the Monday to give to the writer.
What do you mean a quote, Curtis?
Oh, Aaliyah, why don't you talk about quotes since you're the quotable, you know about quotes. You're the band member. Well, you and Holly.
With a quote, for every press release or anything that you're going to be releasing, so any track release, video release, etc., you're going to want a quote. We call a quote. And that is a little statement from you about the song or the video or whatever's being released. And you can say anything in this quote about the song or the video, like about the process of recording it, what the song means to you, what went into creating the video, what went into creating the track, anything that's like a fun little information tidbit that people will like to read about. That's just exclusive to this particular release.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Me and Lalia also did a podcast on this with Kevin Stewart Panko, I think about 2 months ago, which you can find on our Spotify or YouTube later. I don't remember the exact episode name, but we did talk about that. And Kevin's a professional journalist. Holly, do you have anything to add about quotes?
How do I say this nicely?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, the burn is coming.
Try not to send something that's too short or too long. And I appreciate that's really vague. So I guess maybe aim for like, two to 3 sentences is a good kind of length. And like Ali is saying, if you're not sure what to think about, sort of think about the writing process. Think about what have you done? How do you feel about what you've done? And you can, you can look up quotes from other bands if you're really stuck and you kind of need to figure out how to do that. Or you can ask us and we can send you examples. But yeah, we'd maybe try and avoid the, we're thrilled to release a new album, full stop, and that's it. Because that's kind of not really giving us anything to kind of work. Yeah, try and find out, you know, what's sort of unique and interesting about your band, kind of try and point that out if you can.
And not as a sales pitch, but as personal.
And not as a sales pitch, yeah. Don't make it, it needs to sound personal. The entire reason we put quotes and things is because it's that kind of personal touch.
Yeah.
And that's why people like reading them. So.
Do not send us Disconnected Souls as good. Listen, please. Okay. So now that we're done with quotes, just one second here. Oh, so either of you want to go over anything about quotes before the next thing?
No, that's it.
Cool. So just finishing up with what to expect. So most of your reviews are going to be coming in the last week. You might get some interviews posted a little bit earlier. If you ever feel like, granted, not everyone who's listening to this is going to be going with us. I don't know how other publicists do things. We usually try to send links to clients once every 2 to 3 weeks. If you ever feel like nothing's happening, or you're wondering what's happening, or you're feeling like you're not getting any results, ask us for the links, ask us what's going on. We are more than happy to tell you. Generally, most of the time when people get antsy about things, it's too early in the campaign. Sometimes there's a legitimate reason to be antsy, because sometimes campaigns don't go very well. So it happens sometimes. Sometimes you gotta powwow and figure out what to do. But for the most part, if we feel like a campaign isn't doing that great, we will look. We do keep track, and we do look, and we do our best to make sure things are happening. But if you have any questions, just get in touch with one of us. It's not a big deal. Don't come at us all accusatory, obviously, because we actually are trying. We're not sitting here eating burritos all day and playing video games. Unless Holly has a secret life that I don't know about. I don't know.
I mean, I love a burrito, but usually I'm working while eating my burritos.
Same here. So that brings us to the final part, which is getting, okay, so with us, we have a main contact point with each campaign. So generally, it's going to be me, Holly, or Corey as being your main contact point on the campaign. We do like everybody to be infoed on things of what's going on, because, like, for example, if Holly's on vacation, or Corey's on vacation, or I'm sick, Corey's sick, Holly's sick, or somebody dies in the family, you know, and you have to go to a funeral, you know, happens, right? Probably the most morbid thing I could have said, but whatever. Someone else can check in the email chain as to what's going on and answer your question. So that being said, though, it kind of irks us. I know Holly doesn't like it when someone comes to me on her campaign instead of going to her. Can you just talk about this for a second, Holly, and then I want to elaborate?
Sometimes it just gets a little bit frustrating if someone's got a question that's really relevant to everything we've been working on and they go to Curtis first.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't necessarily know the ins and outs. So, like, yeah, he'll know what's going on with the campaign because he can look in our database and see all the notes and stuff. But he might not know the conversation we had yesterday. Yeah. And so he can't necessarily help you. Yeah. Obviously, if you can't reach me for whatever reason, then go to Curtis or Corinne. That's absolutely fine. But go to your point person first, because they're the person who's got your campaign in their mind and who's focused and knows what's going on, whereas other people have got their own campaigns and things can get mixed up, dates can get confused, and actually everything can just get really confused and no one knows what's going on. So it's mainly a management thing, so everybody gets looked after as well as possible.
And Holly's usually pretty good about infoing me and Corey on what's going on anyways, but I'm not necessarily going to know, like she said, on certain things. Like, I've had people come to me and say, when's this press release coming out? I don't know. You got to talk to Holly. Holly's your point person.
Your point person is the expert on your campaign. So why would you ask somebody who's not the expert on your campaign if you can ask the person who is the expert on your campaign?
I don't mind being called the expert, but I mean, at the same time, I mean, Holly's the boss. If Holly's your point person, go to Holly on everything. If I ever come to you on something, I always info Holly on things. Well, 99.9% of the time, there is the occasional time I do forget, or Corey I info. But try to stick it there. Don't send a DM to me if it's information that Holly needs, because all I'm going to say is, please send this by email. And I'm not trying to be a dick. I just don't want Holly to be in the dark on it, because if I bypass her and start and tell you something's okay or that you could do something and she doesn't know and she's doing something else, she's just going to get confused and probably...
This is kind of going off on a little bit of a ranty.
It is ranty. I'm just saying. But the last thing I want to point out on this, though, is also just for contact times, all of us are in different time zones. So just make sure you keep aware on that. So for example, Holly's in the UK. She's going to be 5 hours ahead of Eastern. Yeah, Eastern. I'm Eastern time. Aaliyah is Central. Is it called Central?
It is called Central.
Central. I couldn't remember what
it was. We're the center of the universe.
Yeah, you're the center of the universe. And Corey is on Pacific time. So the time zones are going to be different. That being said, so Holly usually works till about, she's usually reachable till about 3, I think, isn't it? Eastern?
3 p.m. EST is usually my latest. Yeah.
So if you got something urgent, you might need to come to me or Corey on that. But so just keep that in mind as well. So I just finished ranting about how you always got to contact your point person, but there are exceptions is what I'm saying. So if, yeah, what were you going to say, Lynn?
Just try to keep things with the same person as much as possible because it avoids confusion.
Yeah, exactly. But keep in mind as well that there's time zones. And the last point I just want to take up with that is also we try to do this as much as possible, try to keep any communication between 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. at night. So if you send us something at midnight, for example, I've actually had it where the client, I've woken up to a client asking me like 6 times why I didn't respond to them and they'd sent it to me at midnight. It hasn't happened in a long time, but it has. I'm sure Holly's had the same instance happening to her, right? Or have you not?
Not quite that extreme, but I've had, yeah.
Yeah. Or you get a phone, or else your phone starts ringing at like midnight and you're like, what's going on here? So just make sure that whatever publicist you're working with, they might be working late hours, but just make sure you keep any business stuff between the hours of operation. So that way it's not like, you know, most people don't want to get a call at midnight. I know I don't. So, Holly or Aaliyah, is there anything you guys want to cover on that before we go to the final thing?
No,
I think it's the main thing. I guess if you're going on holiday or doing something during your campaign where you're reachable.
Thank you. I forgot about
that. Us, because then I'm not like, why am I not getting the video for the premiere? Why am I not, it's tomorrow. Why have I not got the video? Oh, sorry, I was on holiday. Why didn't you tell me you're on holiday?
Yeah.
It just means we can plan everything and hopefully avoid panicked phone calls at whatever time because I haven't got a video link. So, or whatever it is we're doing.
Thank you, Holly. I forgot about that. We've actually had that where we're like, the client's disappeared. We don't know where the assets are. And then we find out later, oh yeah, I was on vacation. Sorry. Now you tell us, oops. Or, you know, I was getting married that week and I just forgot to let you guys know that I'm not available. Okay. You know, meanwhile, you think they're deserted and you can't get the assets. Okay. So Aaliyah, do we have any other points to bring up on this?
No, is there anything else on the?
There isn't. We're at the end. So that's why I was asking. Holly, is there anything else that we need to bring up on this
topic? I think we've covered quite a lot. So.
Cool.
We hope that you all took notes this whole time and remember all of it. Or just, you know, sign up for our email list and we'll get you the document or whatever. How do they get the document, Curtis?
They got to sign up with us.
If they sign up for a campaign with us, we'll give it to you.
I just want to say one final thing is that I want to toot Holly's horn because she is amazing at what she does. She does almost all of the writing for us for the last probably year or something like that. I mean, Corey does a fair amount too, but Holly's been doing most of the Holics write-ups for us. So if you get a Holics write-up, generally it's written by Holly. She does an amazing job. If you ever want to see an example of her writing, you can look at our website, which is csquared.info, because most of the press releases are written by her. So you can take a look there and you can click on it and you can see an example of her work. And she also writes fantastic bios. So I want to toot her horn on that before we end it off.
Holly is an excellent writer.
She is amazing. So I'm done.
All right. Well, hopefully everybody learned something helpful this time. And yeah, if you need to go back, re-listen and take your notes to know what to expect from a PR campaign, do so. And until next time, make like a bull and throw those horns up.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.